Thank you for listening to this episode of Courtside Indiana Podcast. Please hit the subscribe or add button on your podcast app to get them delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or desktop. As always, we'd appreciate a rating and review, and you can reach us directly on our Courtside Indiana Twitter at CourtsideIND. Welcome to Courtside Indiana Podcast. This is Jim Reamer, recording episode 193. I'll be joined later by our normal crew of Zach, Kyler, and Dominique. We've got a special guest, our coaching series, Coach Chris Hawkins from Crispus Attucks. Just a real quick recruiting update. Just three little updates here from the last time we recorded. Cole Duncan, 6'9" center from Cowan, senior to be center. I guess we're kind of sort of moved on from the class of 23, maybe. So now 24s are seniors, but Cole goes to Cowan High School. He received an offer from Manchester. Desmond Briscoe, the junior, now junior to be center from Crispus Attucks, who we'll talk about a lot here coming up, received an offer from Cincinnati. And Xavier Robinson from Lawrence North took a visit to Notre Dame and got an offer up there, or while he was up there on his visit. I think Briscoe and Robinson are both guys that have started to trend in that direction as far as like high major offers. And again, Coach Hawkins, we've already recorded this segment. He will talk a little bit about Desmond's development and where he thinks it's headed and how it needs to progress for him to play at a high major level. And most of us think he will get there. And so far his offers have reflected that. Cincinnati obviously is going to be recruiting Indiana continually. And now Notre Dame is recruiting Indiana more than they ever have. And I think most of us realized that or knew that was going to happen when Coach Shrewsbury took over the Fighting Irish. So Indiana just got a lot more competitive in the recruiting field. And the class of 25 is going to be it's a good class. It's definitely better than 2024. There's more names at the top than 2023. Although 2023 was a pretty deep class, 2025 might be matching it. 2025 might have a lot of some of the names that 2024 has. I think 2024 has got the three names for sure. In Badunga, Catchings, and Benter. But then after that, it's kind of it gets pretty thin. There's going to be some good college players. There's going to be some good, there's going to be some good low D1 mid-major guys. But those three are it as far as what we think from a high major perspective. 2025 is going to be a little bit different. And it will be not sure how it stacks to like say the class of 2021 yet. Might not get there, but it's definitely of the current high school classes, 2023 included. 2025 is the best class of the season we just had. All right, now we're joined by Kyler Staley, Dominic Neely, Zach Tyler. Guys, how are you doing today?
Great, great.
Good.
Great, great. Great. Everybody's great. And our special guest, Chris Hawkins, head coach of Crispus Attucks, with a fancy Crispus Attucks background.
Yes, yes. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Is that a box out? Is that a box out thing, Coach?
Yeah,
my guys.
We're always touting you for your box out skills.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to teach somebody else within our athletic department to try to learn how to do the stuff, but not a lot of people trying to jump into that. So, yeah, right now, just me.
Yeah, they're one of our informal sponsors. Basically, we get what, free usage of everything, Zach? Is that how it's working?
Yep. Yep.
We didn't do much with it this year.
Not too much.
Which that's
fine. I'll get into that. I'll get back into that next year.
You got kids. I mean, I don't know. It was always kind of a nice thing, but at the same time, it's still work.
Yep. Yep.
All right, Chris, we're doing about 30 minutes. Basically, you know what we're doing is we're bringing in guys this early part who are favorites to maybe compete for a state championship. You ready for that?
Yeah. I think we've grown up with the freshmen. They'll be juniors now. I think we start 13-11 with Chris Desmond. That group 18-8 last year, city championship, losing the sectional championship. And then I think some other guys are ready to step up in some different roles.
Cool. Zach, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, Coach. We've been talking about summers, how summers look for you guys, strength and conditioning wise, team camp wise, what you look for with your guys during the summer, the summertime.
I think a lot of us really want to get in a lot of shooting, a lot of skill development, ball handling, passing, a lot of conditioning. We want to get up and down the floor, and then the weight room. So, I mean, we try to incorporate that within that 2-hour slot, that they give us as far as with limited contact. And then now in June, kind of hit that Monday through Friday. So it's very key for us. And then, like I said, just for the kids, just to understand, going from their freshman year to their junior years, their bodies have transformed. If you remember Briscoe, he was super heavy that freshman year. He's very lean now, just trying to add that muscle mass, get more athletic. Lot's finally healthy. So I think his best is coming. Chris, Mason Lewis is a transfer that's over. He's physically there, but I think there's some things that, he's going to help us with, and he's going to, improve, just with leadership. And just, he's played in big games also. So, like I said, we really want to get in there with the skill developing, the shooting, and then, like I said, conditioning, because we want to get up and down. We want to play in the 70s if we can, but, the good teams and, the teams that we'll play this year, we have Carmel back on the schedule, Brownsburg still there, Ben Davis. So you may have to learn to play in the 40s or 50s. So, I think you have to learn to play two ways, especially when you get in the sectionals. So I think it's a group, man. You get to your third year, they pretty know what to expect. We're excited.
Definitely. You talked about having to play maybe in the 40s and 30s. How does going to team camps and stuff at different colleges help with that?
Well, I think sometimes you can ask the coaches, what teams are there? Who do you want to play? So
yep.
We played Brownstown Central. I think we lost by 3. Played Greenfield Central, won by 5. Played Jennings County. It's probably 15-16 point win right there. But those teams are going, they played zone. First 3 games were all zone. So just got to have patience, got to work the ball, get it inside out. I don't think we shot it particularly well. And that was our first time playing this summer. So I think, it was a learning experience. And then, we got better as the day went on. But
definitely. Sure.
Those teams are going to, try to, play you different ways. We have to be patient, not force things. But like I said, you get to a sectional, you get to a regional, teams are going to try to do different things. So we just have to be ready for everything. If teams play us, man, I think we'll be able to do anything with any team's man defenses. But like I said, the zones are things that we just have to, work on. And then, like I said, we got to make open shots.
Definitely. You mentioned Mason coming in this year. Who are some other guys you look forward to step up that maybe have been around and to contribute more this upcoming season?
Well, I think DeAndre Lott, 6'4 kid, didn't play his freshman year, was hurt. Last year, to me, was his really freshman year. So I'm looking for him to really explode this year. Versatile. you know, can guard really 1 through 4, 1 through 5 in high school. You know, can shoot it, can drive it, can finish. It's kind of like a 3-and-D guy. We have another kid, Bronson Thomas. He's going to be the kid, I think, that really breaks out for us. He's in that 2025 class that we have, wing kid, super athletic, just gets deflections, he played really well this past weekend at UIndy. So really excited about him. Demetrius Jenkins coming off ACL surgery, came back last year, kind of midway through. So he's 100% now. So excited for him. And then we have another 2024 kid, Jackson Payton, broke his finger and kind of like an arm injury, just weird how it happened in football. So, he's another kid coming back healthy, uber athletic. So, our biggest thing is just being able to have everybody available. And I think, adding, Mason, and then another kid, Julian Norwood, lefty shooter, has really got some little jazz to his game, per se. Maybe we try to wants to go one-on-one a lot, but trying to get him to just understand, hey, make a play for somebody else. I know you can make a play for yourself, but I just feel like we have enough guards. I think our best teams at Addicts is when we won the state title, we had 4 kids that shot over at least 38% from 3. The year we had Sincere, Harold, Tiny, and a couple other guards, those are the years we, either won state, went to semi-state, or got to regional. So, this team, I think, is eerily similar. But when you have a dominant big like Briscoe, we just can't forget about him. So,
definitely.
So those are kind of the kids that I think are going to jump out this year. And then, the other ones we've already kind of, talked about.
Yeah. One more thing for me, Coach. Obviously Briscoe is your man. Do you look to run a lot of stuff through him this coming season, or not necessarily, just how the game flows? What are you guys looking for with Briscoe this year?
I mean, we want to go through him. I think, in my opinion, first 3 possessions, he should touch it. But he's a big that can pass out of double teams and is a willing passer. So we'll just see how teams play us. If they go single coverage one-on-one, we'll let him score 40. If they want to double down, we'll kick it out to Rutland, junior all-star, I feel like is still probably, some people know him. But I still think, he's flying under the radar. But like I said, between him and Rutland, there are your 1A, 1B options. And then, like I said, everybody else, depending on how we were, what we run and how we want to play things, just play off those two.
For sure.
Cool, Coach. Talk about just what it means to you coaching at Crispus Addicts with all the history, Oscar Robertson, all the things that came before, and I'm sure they play a part in helping your program and available for talks and things like that. But talk about coaching at Addicts.
Nah, coaching at Addicts, man, it's surreal, man. It's a real good feeling. You never know when you go to your first coaching gig, first year, you don't never dream about, hey, we're gonna win the state title in that first year. So it happened. But like just the amount of people, just the amount of, just everything, support from like the alums and the former players and just people that have family members that go to Addicts, it's huge. So I really, I love being over there. Just like I said, man, I can call Oscar. I really can call the majority of all those guys, and just at any point in time, they pick up. And so it just, it just lets you know you're a part of that legacy, that history. And then, like I said, you just want to make sure that you keep putting it in the right limelight and making sure that you are doing just cause to bring, good PR to the school and the history and everything. So it's a pleasure, man. My wife, she may not like it because we won the state title. We try to go get breakfast that next day, And I think we're on 71st in Georgetown at this little flapjacks place. Everybody stood up, started clapping. She turned around and said, "Let's go. I'm not dealing with this." And so it was just like, you know.
Shoot, the first thing I did when I walked in, one of your, I don't know, if it would, the first game that, not your first game, but one of the first games your first season, I got there for the JV game. I spent the whole JV game taking pictures of all the banners and all the pictures. They had their pictures in the hallway of all those teams. And I mean, there are pictures a lot of us have seen before, especially of the team pictures, but it was still cool to see the gym all decked out. And I had never been in there before.
Nobody, I do remember you over there on your phone.
Oh, hell yeah.
iPad. Yeah, I remember.
I wasn't even watching it. I wasn't even watching the game. I just was like, okay, cool. And I left at halftime with the varsity and I had a migraine. All of a sudden, I'm getting sick. But I'm like, ah, I got my pictures. I'm good. It was like, okay, cool. Chris is coaching, but I'm here for the history and all the cool stuff. I still have it. I don't think was the Hall of Fame stuff done yet? Not the Hall of Fame, but the museum?
Yeah, so the museum is like the biggest piece. So
yeah.
What we'll do going forward is like every away team during the JV game, we'll have our curator there, and then they'll be able to go through the museum before that varsity game, kind of get a, you know, short but sweet tour. Just so you can see just the history, just with all the people that have been at Addicts, just not just the sports side of it, but the academic side and just the history with the school. So it's man, it's nice, man. You just never know who's there or who'll show up, like Hallie Bryant, or just pop in, you know, without calling or anything, and just, hey, just wanted to come in here and talk to you, coach. And so, you know, like I said, man, it's great being over there. I wouldn't trade it for anything else in the world. And like I said, we hope within these next 2 years, probably, you know, 4A this year, 3A, knock on wood, if this thing passes, us in Cathedral.
You going to dip back down?
Oh, we always would like to go back to where we probably truly should be at. But I think being in 4A, I think, you know, we've gotten to the promised land. We now have to get over the hump. So I think with this year's group, I think we have the group to get over the hump.
And I wanted to ask quick as well. So do you know any of the, you know, incoming freshmen coming in that might, maybe they won't play a role. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but maybe even onto the JV or future guys that have some promise.
Probably shouldn't say this, but the younger Tayshawn Comer's brother, he'll be at Addicts. And so he'll probably start out JV. But, you know, we have him. We have a couple of more freshman kids that'll play. I think we're taking a majority freshmen to play JV tomorrow out at the pack. But like, if you say name wise, he's going to be probably, you know, the top guy. But I think with that freshman class, we have some other kids that name wise I'm forgetting right now. But that incoming freshman class is going to be a really good one for us. But he's going to be really good right now. His defense is probably ahead of his offense, but man, he's a bulldog, can get to the basket, you know, working on the shot kind of like his brother, but you know, I really like him.
Thanks, coach.
Coach, I want to hop in, sticking with Rutland and Briscoe, as far as their player developments, what are some things, you know, next steps on the floor that they need to take in order to get to that next level?
I think both of them, like, just being aggressive, just going at people. I think, you know, sometimes they can be, you know, passive or pass up some shots. I think they can be, you know, more killer instinct. I think, like I said, with Briscoe, I think his next, where he can really, you know, move into that power five level of, you know, just rebounding outside of his, you know, area, you know, sprinting up and down the court, you know, offense and defensively. And I think he's been doing that during AAU a lot. And then I think, you know, his other biggest thing is just being able to, you know, handle it. Being able to drive from the wings and just some different things we've been trying to do. So I think if he does those three things, I mean, to me, he's a power five, four man. So if he can just do that consistently and just show schools that, I think, you know, he's going to be what I think he can be. Looking at Rutland, I think, you know, his next steps, you know, just getting to the basket, finishing through contact. I think he's increased his athleticism, you know. And then I just think, like, you know, you never know when you're looking at him if he's upset or, you know, he's just that even keel dude. So, you know, with me, I just want him to get that just that killer instinct in him. But like I said, with both of those three men, they're great kids, great academically. So I just think those next steps are coming. And they've been working toward that so far in our limited contact sessions. And then also, you know, we're getting started here in June.
Sweet. Jumping to the postseason, just as a team, as a whole, what are some improvements your guys need to make in order to make a deeper run into the postseason?
Like I said, I just think we have to shoot the ball better, limit turnovers. I think what sectional championship, we were 9 for 52, and maybe half of those attempts are wide open. So, like I said, we're getting the shots. Like I said, we just got to step up and make them, especially in big games like that. So, and then, like I said, I just think we got to defend better, rebound better. We had a lot of games where, you know, we limit some teams. You know, first shot, we don't get that rebound. Now they get a second chance, third opportunity, which is not within their offense, but just, you know, off a rebound or something, and they're able to score. So I think our first level of defense is great. It's just finishing with a block out, getting the ball, and then let's go push it on the other side. So, you know, those are just some things. If we want to make those next steps, we got to make shots. We got to limit turnovers. And we got to rebound. Rebound as a team. Briscoe can't rebound everything. Our guards have to rebound. And that's why I just like the Ronson kid, because he's coming back in, trying to rebound everything, trying to block shots, just uber athletic. So, you know, probably shouldn't have said his name because now he's going to be on scouting reports.
No, I'm sending that in.
Thanks, Coach.
You know who Burke Weldy is, right?
Yep.
Okay, just want to make sure. Speaking of scouting reports, Kyler kind of took part of my question there, and I realize some of it is draw related and how difficult sectional 10 is, but what gets you over the hump sectional week? Not that the rest of it's a layup or a guarantee, but I mean, you've got Cathedral, you've got North Central, you've got Warren Central, you've got Lawrence North, you've got Lawrence. You basically have Murderer's Row of, I mean, even when it's down, it's still good, right? So what gets you over the hump this year in an answer that you didn't just give Kyler?
Well, I think our kids are very hungry to show that our sectional championship performance, you know, wasn't indicative of who we are as a team. And I think, you know, as you look in the sectional, I think we have the best player in the sectional. That's just my opinion. Then, you know, if Rutland is doing what he does, we have Mason, we have Chris Hurt. If we're playing on all cylinders, I just feel like we have that best team in that sectional. I know some people will, you know, hey, what about Lawrence North? What about North Central? But if Desmond's playing how he played against Booker, and then that next game, I think he had the first 8 or 9 points against Zane before two fouls early in the second quarter system, and then we kind of lose our wits. They go on an 18-2 run. I just feel confident in just what he can do and how he can take over games. And if he does that, and with him being a willing passer and our kids understanding, you know, how we want to play and what we want to do off of him. I just feel like, you know, this is our year and this is our time.
Yeah, I think we all agree that Briscoe is the best player in that sectional coming into this year. What is your Obviously, you and I have talked a lot, just personally and privately. What's your feeder system? What schools are you? I mean, IPF. We last week we had Coach Pickens on from Fort Wayne Wayne. It was probably kind of the same type of question I asked him, because Fort Wayne is open schools or open enrollment. Basically, you can live anywhere in the city, go wherever you want. You know, the same thing applies to you. What schools do you draw? Do you draw from specific schools, or is that something that, because how difficult is it for you to do anything with kids before they get into high school?
Oh, it's not that difficult. So basically, I would say, if you say what school do we usually get the majority of students in, just to say academically and right. athletically, it's going to be Longfellow.
Okay.
That was per se what the district kind of said is our school. But I think our district
is Longfellow on 38th, or where?
Longfellow's on the south side. Like, I have to look up the address, but no, it's more like a like headed out to almost to Manuel, like okay. out there a little bit before you get to Manuel, but
so down by Emadonna. Emadonna.
Yep. Okay. In that area.
So what's on what's on 38th?
Well, are you talking about Avondale and Tinley?
No, Avondale, west side, sorry.
I mean, you got north.
Because that's your de facto area now, isn't it?
Yeah, but then, like, you can get anybody. They don't want to.
Well, I realize that part. I mean, but that's, yeah, but
we don't,
that's the nature of IPS. People can joke about recruit, blah, blah, you know, recruiting, whatever. But that's just the nature of IPS right now. It's every year it's a new school. I mean, the west side is de facto yours now, isn't it? I mean, it's because there's no west side school.
The de facto school is always going to be for us Longfellow, no matter what. But like anything, like to say Northwest or different things. So your issue is now with these pathways. So we're computer science and medical health sciences. You know, our population is probably 60% female, 40 male, just because of the health sciences. So you're going to get more females there than you are guys. So when we're kind of just saying, okay, you know, someone's going to choose a school. I think Darren Thomas, our district AD, and Josh Varno does a great job putting together those middle school schedules where we have our middle school stuff. And basically, we do a middle school all-star week. And basically, they put out invitations to, you know, who the coaches in that middle school league think are the best players. And then, so basically, we get a week with those kids. Basically, you know, you come in, run practices. For the most part, I think the first time they did it, I think we ran the practices, but then Short Ridge, George Washington Tech also gets opportunities to do it. So at that point in time, you have probably the best of the best of what's in IPS from sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. And then depending on skill level, you know, the best game will be, I think that's like the 12 or 1 o'clock game. Then you have the second level game, it's at 11. And then just the beginners probably at like 11 or 10. So we've been able to, through that, especially with this 2025 class, get kind of the best kids out of IPS and have them attend Christmas Addicts. Right. So we haven't really had an issue. You look at Briscoe. Briscoe's an IPS kid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having a kid like that stay in IPS is kind of big. So, and then I just think, man, we're winning. And so some kids, you know, they see that, parents see that. And so, and then it's a school with the history and legacy that, you know, I can't promise you 35 locker rooms with carpet and all these other things that all these other high schools can. But like, if you want to play hard, if you want to play on a stage, you want to leave a legacy, you want to play for something bigger than yourself. I mean, that's what we do at Christmas Attic. So, you know, those are just going to be the things. Like our IPS All-Star Week, that's where we get all our kids. And that's how we keep building this, because we're getting the best kids out of our district. And then, like I said, we're able to keep them. And then, like I said, we get them better. And I just think that's the biggest thing. I always look back to this, and this is why I think we're so successful. Tech 2014, you know, won the state title. Mm-hmm. What happened after that?
Decatur Central ran out of good players.
But I'm just saying, like, there was nothing after that.
Get the one guy out of Decatur is great.
Yep. So,
well, I mean, look, we both agree. IPS is not what it used to be. And yep. From a quantity standpoint, which kind of sucks. And that's a whole soapbox of mine as to why that is the way it is. But I mean, how many, there's just four IPS schools now, right? Or are we even at three?
Four. Yeah. So
Attic, Shortridge, Tech, and
George Washington.
Oh, that's right. My dad's alma mater. It's back.
Continentals.
That's right. I don't know. That's a whole other issue. You and I could talk about that on a whole separate episode. Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's because it's the middle school situation is a little. How many middle schools are there in IPS?
I think there are 27. Like IPS? 20, yeah. So like 27, we're going to get it down, I think, with this rebuilding stronger. I think it's supposed to go down to 8 or 7. But they'll use more of the, like, how reopen, Broadbrook will reopen. So you'll have better facilities for these middle schools. And then, you know, from there, you know.
So they're moving out of the numbered buildings into some of the old high schools.
Mm-hmm.
So John Marshall's a middle school.
Yep.
Arlington's a middle school.
Yeah, Arlington will be one of those.
Or is that charter?
No, Arlington is a middle school.
It's still it's back to IPS.
Yep.
Yeah, I just miss it, man.
No, we all do.
No knock on the charters because it's obviously schools like Tenley, Indy Met have filled a void academically. But yeah, I miss the old IPS stuff. Miss the old city tournament.
I miss Arlington Ripple. You know,
oh, those, absolutely.
You know, those games were competitive. The whole city would be out. It would, you know, those are just things that you grew up with.
Those are games those are games I went to. I mean, and there's so much money around both schools. It's just, it's ridiculous. But that's not necessarily IPS's fault.
So, nope.
Good old state of Indiana, baby. That's all I had. I don't know if anybody else has got any. I'm glad you're playing Carmel again.
Yeah. You know, I saw Jim, I think, down in Bloomington for the girls' state track meet. State. So, So it was good. We were able to connect. I think, when did we talk about it? I think we talked about it at our girls end up playing. I don't know if we played you guys in sectionals for soccer. I think that's what it was. And then kind of just said, hey, you know, we got an opening. You like to play, I would love to get back on the schedule. So yeah, we have a brutal schedule to start out. So I think we start out North Central. Next game is the Ohio Valley Classic. Then we have the Sneakers for Santa. Then I think we play like Shortridge, somebody else, and then you go to the Forum Tip-Off Classic against Sicily, Heritage Hills. That'd and I think another some type of the Hall of Fame against Kokomo, and then play the winner, or you know, it could be either Brownstown or Brownsburg. So yeah,
definitely got a schedule, Coach. Big time.
Yeah, just gotta, like I said, kids just gotta be ready to go. So it'll prepare us for the sectional. I think the sectional's at LN this year, so. You know, just got to earn it. That's our motto this year. Got to earn everything. Nobody's going to give it to you. Got to earn it.
Too bad they couldn't play that at Hinkle. I mean, they're allowed to because it's a state tournament, but it just doesn't work out schedule-wise with Butler.
Yep.
Like it used to. But that was a long time ago. So, anybody got anything else?
Nope.
Chris, got anything Anything necessarily outside of basketball you're dealing with, like pushing or want to promote or anything?
No, I think just biggest thing, man, just just keep supporting. I appreciate you guys. You go out, you watch all the kids, you write articles. I think, fair, just, and everything like that, man. And I just appreciate that. And then I think the biggest thing, man, we coming. Like Dion, we coming.
Love it. Yeah.
Love it.
All right, Chris. Well, we appreciate your time. Good luck. I'll probably see you tomorrow night. Or well, by the time people hear this, maybe tonight at Grant Park.
Yep.
For the summer league there. Are you at Grant Park or are you at Finch Creek?
Nah, they got us at Grand Park, so yeah,
Good.
63 BD 830 Westfield.
Well, that'll be good. Yep, I'll be there. All right, man. Good
All right,
talking, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you,
Thank you.
guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, Coach.